This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Anyway, I'm sweating a little bit with nerves because one of my favourite bands from the 80s, well, the lead singer. And did you play guitar as well, didn't you?
Yeah, at the same time as well.
Dave Sterry. Big round of applause.
Hello.
From real life.
Hello, everybody.
Now, it's really funny because, this is the time when bands, of your sort are getting back together. Well, you know what I mean. Your time
era?
And era.
Yeah,
80s like getting bands. Back together to do all these big concerts around the place. And we were talking about it off air. People like,
Kids in the Kitchen. Uncanny X-Men. All those people.
It's a great time for 80s bands.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is there's work out there and we all need to work. You know, we didn't make millions of dollars back in the day. And we still love working, and when you go to these shows and catch up with all those other guys, it's like a school reunion, and we're all having a ball and just chuffed that we're working.
Yeah, it's amazing, big school camp sort of vibe. Yeah.
Now, real life had some massive hits.
Yes, we did.
Things like "Send Me an Angel," where did that end up on the charts?
Here, I think it got to about number two or three, I think, and it was really strange. Finally, we'd been a up and coming band for 3 years, and all of a sudden we get a record out, and we realise there's a person called Michael Jackson keeping us from the top.
Jacko.
Well, you just don't think you're going to be competing
up
with
against
those sort
that.
Of people. No, so
that's a pretty good honour, though, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
This would have been Countdown Days.
Countdown and Hey Hey. Yeah.
What was your Countdown experience like?
Life changing, terrifying.
Yeah.
The first time, meeting the great man Molly and Gavin Wood.
Because when you met him, how big was the show then?
Oh, it was huge, and of course I'd like everyone else, I'd grown up with it, I'd through the 70s and watched it religiously, every Sunday. And I was, the band was starting, we were all very poor, and I was driving a cab and they pre-taped the shows on a Friday, I think it was, and I was driving a cab on the Sunday that it was going to be on, and I'm kind of turning around going, hey, guess what, I'm on Countdowns, mate. And they're all laughing at me.
But, how dare they?
I don't believe you.
But the following Monday, walking down the street, everyone knows who you are. Your life has changed,
Amazing.
So, as far as Australian bands go, obviously this Friday night, which we're literally here to promote, which is at Chasers, it's Kids in the Kitchen and Real Life Get Back Together. Were you guys friends back then, or you just become friends now because it's like, we hated each other's guts, but we're really, we're back into it. With each other.
Friends and rivals. I guess we're all afraid of each other being better than each other. We're in competition. We had different managers, different record labels, and they were in competition. And we'd hear stories about other bands. They'd say, they're going down the drain, or their manager's bankrupt or something. And there was always this, ooh, really? Oh, dear. And nowadays we just talk and we are mates, and we've all gone through the same business and had the crap kicked out of us. And
it's a bit like community radio.
A little bit, yeah.
We've survived our career though, which is really wonderful. And now we are genuinely mates. And if we go on a road trip, say if we go up and play Wagga or something, it's a 3 or 4 hour road trip, and you've got perhaps Brian Mannix and Scott Kahn or Paul Norton or me in the van. It's just great stories.
Brian Mannix would have a few stories.
You can't shut him up.
That's fantastic.
Hello, Brian, if you're listening.
In amongst all this in the 80s, because In Excess was really taking control back then, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. They were In Excess. Well, they were smart enough to go to America and keep going there.
They just
before,
kept touring.
Before they had a hit record, they just kept going and touring live. And I remember, I think about 1985 or something, they were just about to break through big in America, but we were over in Europe and they were in Europe as well. We were both on a promotional tour, and it was quite strange that we were the band that had broken through in Europe first before In Excess had. So it was, a bit embarrassing actually, because we used to work with them all the time, and just what a great band they were.
Some of my favourite all-time bands. Sorry, no offence. But I love Real Life too. But Michael Hutchins all over my bedroom.
What a fantastic band. I mean, really great, great band.
Yeah.
With you've had a trail of hits and stuff. What is your favourite songs?
Probably songs that weren't necessarily singles. In fact, there's a couple that I'm playing on Friday night that I'm really looking forward to. The two of my favourites. One is the title track of the second album, Flame, and another one is off the first album, Heartland, and it's called Burning Blue. And I'm just really excited to play those. And I know the true fans of the band love those songs as well. Mm. You know, but they weren't necessarily singles. But
did you write a lot of this stuff?
I wrote all this stuff, or co-wrote all this stuff. So yeah,
that's fantastic.
So but playing Semi and Angel. Or anyone who's got a hit like that, walking out on a stage and just seeing the faces light up and the joy in people's faces. I've had a couple of interesting experiences. One was in Lima, Peru. I was down there. I wasn't headlining the show either. But it's a pretty rough place, that part of the world, and you didn't go out and get in a cab or anything. You'd be kidnapped. So we did this gig with a whole lot of security, and comes Semi and Angel time. And people don't speak much English down there. You know, you've really got to try with a bit of Spanish to get by. But Angel comes on, and they lifted the roof. They sang it.
Amazing.
You know, I couldn't have – they sang it word for word, and I – couldn't have a conversation with any of them afterwards because they didn't speak English, but they sang
it. Isn't that amazing?
They raised the roof.
Semi and Angel and a lot of Hillsong songs are big.
They are. They're big in Peru.
Oh, I didn't know where you were going with
Hillsong,
that.
Hillsong's huge over there.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, you're a lot cooler than Hillsong.
Well, thank you. But South Americans loved the whole 80s. They really did. You know, I've often got you know, letters from or emails from South Americans. And also bands like Men at Work were huge down there.
Really?
You know, and in excess. And they'd do these, they'd play like 100,000 people.
Yeah, like this is amazing.
Yeah. And you, back in the day, your record company manager just wanted you to break England or America. And they just ignored
forgot
that part
about
of the
South
world.
America.
Yeah, and we could have all been down there and Asia as well. You know?
What year was Catch Me, I'm Falling?
That would have been 1984.
I figured as much because I feel like I might have won the backwards speed skating champion at Mordialloc roller skating rink to your song, Catch Me, I'm Falling, which is why I love the track so much.
Wow.
Should we play it now?
I think we
should play it now and come back.
We should.
This is Catch Me, I'm Falling on Joy.
did about 17,000 laps backwards to that song.
Oh, it's still about you.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Dave Steery, that's amazing. We just played that tune through our panel off YouTube. When you watch your video back like that, but does it bring, what memories does it bring back for you? But, I mean, there was a white suit and a bad guitar.
Memories of youth. it just proves to me that I was young once.
But when you see it, do you still have a, I mean, it must have been such a proud thing when you launched your videos.
Yeah, it was. They were difficult things to make because you'd have some, you know, production crew come in and say, hey, we want to do this, and you were never quite sure how it was going to turn out, and you just hope for the best, and you didn't look like too much of a fool doing it. And
it was hard in the 80s, wasn't it? Because fashion was taking a whole
absolutely
different turn.
And there were budgets involved, and you thought, well, you know, we never had a really big budget for anything. It was always actually about, I think, $25,000, and you'd had bands like Duran Duran spending $100,000 on videos. So for what we did for what we got, I think it's pretty good. You know, I like looking at it. I can still remember that studio in Sydney we did it in, and the director guy and I can remember it all. It's good.
So back then there was, you know, it was kind of like video killed the radio star. Mm-hmm. Do you think Instagram's killed the video star? Things like that? Social media?
Yeah, possibly, yeah. YouTube, I mean, I spend, like everyone, you go there, you think, I'm just going to look at this one thing, and you see this other one suggested for you, oh, but after I'll watch that one. And I've got a tick, you know, I've got ones, you know, in where you put we'll watch later thing, and I've got heaps of them, and I can never get around to doing them. But
no, well, that's the thing. And back in the day, there was obviously Countdown, but then there was MTV, yep. And people would tune in to watch that video. Like, and now, as you're saying, everything's too immediate, so how can you watch everything?
That's true.
You can't.
But I guess, you know, people wanted to. Everyone was so excited about music back with the Countdown days, and everyone wanted to see the new clip, and it was all exciting. And Molly presented it, and the videos were great. And you know, it didn't matter whether you're a kid or an adult or what. Everyone watched Countdown,
and we all loved Countdown.
It. And then, of course, MTV started changing things. We were part of that as well. We went to New York and did MTV. We even did Solid Gold.
Gold.
Yes. And American Bandstand.
Oh,
and
my God. Was the chick with the really
black
long hair?
Look,
on Solid Gold?
Massive
long hair. Yeah.
That really long plait?
There were the Solid Gold dancers.
The Solid Gold dancers,
yeah. That was
and
funny.
We all just remember the girl with the long plait.
Don't you feel sort of privileged in a way that you were in music at a time where people actually really appreciated it?
Yeah.
And that you had this travel success and toured with the Eurythmics and did all that kind of stuff. Because now it's really, I find people, you know, are trying to become successful through The Voice or, you know, X Factor or whatever. Yeah. And it's just not that longevity thing there anymore.
No, it's not. They're still the same old way. I mean, we started out, we decided we were going to write our own songs. We weren't going to play any covers. We were going to start supporting bands, dragging all our friends to our gigs, and then gradually work their way through opening for Midnight Oil and NXS and Cold Chisel and everyone. We supported everybody and got our playing chops that way.
Yeah.
That road is still open. People can still do that. You can get out there
they
if you can
still
pull
do,
a crowd. Yeah. If you can go and open for a band that's got an audience already, if you can nick 10 people off their audience and get them to your gigs, that's the way. You can still do that. Or you can go on The Voice, or you can go straight to YouTube or something.
I think, you know, generally these days people tend to have less attention spans. I'm not looking at anyone in the room particularly. But definitely there's nothing beats live.
Well, listen,
and getting out and getting your chops, exactly as you said.
We're excited about Friday night. Friday night's going to be great. Chasers Nightclub kicks off. It doesn't have a time here, but it's obviously just... Is there a Facebook page you can go to? I think there is. There's a Facebook event page for Chasers this Friday night. Chasers on a Friday night is called 386, if you want to go and check it out. And it's Kids in the Kitchen, real life.
Yep.
Dave Steery, thank you so much
for your time. So much. Thank you so much for having me in here.
I'm going to wear my roller skates on Friday night.
Good on you.
I'm a bit older now. I wear knee pads.
We'll clear the dance floor.
Knee pads and a stack hat as well.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.